Blog Talk Radio.
This is Yasa Sagonige, a seventh grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
I'm Austin Powers. I like
Gas Mojo.
The very sexy, very switched on, yeah.
But you gotta have Gas Mojo, baby, yeah!
What a gas, baby, yeah!
I'm going to go back to the 60s and steal Austin Powers' Gas Mojo.
Hi, folks, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of GasMojo.net Engine Booster. Immediate 25% fuel savings with GasMojo.net in just 5 minutes after installation. And your grandma can do it, so you just strap it on your fuel line, folks. Some customers report much greater savings. The GasMojo.net engine booster catalytically conditions any hydrocarbon fuel, be it gasoline, propane, diesel fuel. It's not a filter, it contains no metals, magnets, or toxic substances, and uses no electricity. The GasMojo.net engine booster unit is a specially designed tube containing a completely safe proprietary media. It's a passive fuel treatment process designed to disperse hydrocarbons for better performance and mileage, and also to break down carbon and other contaminants. Unlock your fuel's hidden energy potential now with GasMojo.net. And folks, you get a 100% money-back guarantee on this. I've got one on my car. It was developed by an old friend of mine, and he's an honorable person. You got to try it, folks, and go open a bank account now for all the money you're going to save. GasMojo.net, GasMojo.net. Just do it. Well, hello, everybody. This is Blue Water, and this is Prophecy Keepers Radio. And we're privileged today to have as our guest Yellow Horseman, and he is a mixed blood Cherokee Creek and Choctaw and Métis, which is, you know, French mixed blood, and he's an elder. He traveled for many years with Maki Ruka, who is a Maori elder, and learned a lot from Maki, and did quite a bit of traveling all over the world. And I don't want to mess up your introduction, so we'll just let you go ahead and have tell folks a little bit about yourself. What do you like to be called, Yellow Horse?
My name is Yellow Horse Man, and one of the things that that I do is before I start doing anything, I always like to offer a prayer to Creator, just to center ourselves, to kind of open our hearts, and certainly to have good guidance, because the message I want to give tonight is one that I want to be able to touch people's hearts, and I call the teachings and things that I do medicine of the heart, and I'll tell you how that came about. But it was certainly a great journey to be with Brother Mackie Rucker, who has now passed on. And he passed on in 2001. And he passed on 11/11. And it was really an auspicious date.
Wow.
And but it was a time of a new beginning for a lot of things. So we're going to begin with a prayer. And I'd like to also say thank you to Blue Otter and to the great medicine that you have put out to be able to spread the message of elders across the country, and also to put up such a beautiful website. And I just want to say this for you, brother, that if people want to make a donation to help you out and to continue this work, I know that this will be most appreciated by you, but it would be most appreciated by the listeners and the people that are get a chance to listen to some of the elders speaking. And everything and all the things that I say, I'm not representing any tribe, nation. I'm just speaking from the heart, things that I've learned along the way. And certainly there are a lot more elders and people that I know out there that I consider so much more wiser than I am. But the message I want to give tonight is one that I hope that we'll be able to touch the hearts of all the people that have a chance to listen to it. So, great-grandfathers in the four sacred directions, good spirits, Mother Earth, Mother Sky, great creator, maker, bread, giver of life, once again, great mystery, we come to you on this beautiful day that you've given to us to be able to bring us together as a sacred family across the world, to help us to unite our spirits once again, to open our hearts to the great medicine that you have sent to each one of us, peace, harmony, truth, and unconditional love. May we always live that way and be able to walk into your sacred dream of peace. Let the world be filled with your unconditional love, great creator, and may we always be guided by our own hearts. We pray for only good things this day, creator, and I ask you to bless our grandmothers as the wisdom keepers, our mothers, the builder of man, our sisters, the nature of all things. Bless our beautiful children that are coming to us at this time in the sacred dreams that they walk, that they be the peacemakers of tomorrow. We pray for only good things this day, Creator, and we ask you to guide us in our hearts, minds, and spirits as we begin this conversation and this ceremony in life. We ask also that you help us to understand what it is that our journey is to be here upon the Sacred Mother. We thank you for allowing us to walk on the sacred altar that we call Mother Earth. We ask your blessings upon all who live here. And we pray for all our relatives who were here before us, long before we put our footprints here. The four-legged, the winged, the ones that swim and crawl, all the rooted kind, the ones below the earth, and the ones that are above. We give you thanks, great creator, for all that you give to us. We pray that we all become one mind, one body, one spirit with you. And we thank you for all that we receive. I hope it's coming.
Well, we sure appreciate that, and I understand you have a remarkable young lady who lives in your house, who is 2.5 years old, and her name is Crystal Rain.
Yes, she is. She is. She was born August 12th, and she's a very special little person, and there are many of them being born at this time. She will be 3 years old on August 12th, and she has already been able to get up and to give talks to people, and she talks about God. And one day I asked her, when she was 15 months old, I said, what does God look like? Because she had just told me whenever I was speaking with her about, I asked her, what was it like in mommy's tummy? And she looked at me and she folded herself up. She says, tight. And I thought, oh my God, she knows everything. I'm so sure of it. So I asked her, I says, honey, I says, what does God look like? And she looked around the room and she looked around and then finally she looked out and she felt the sun and she says, brighter than that light, Daddy. I thought it was the most amazing answer. So I would like to ask Chris Lorraine if she would like to be able to speak to anyone out there who is listening. And we try not to prompt her, but she is she speaks in 12 different languages.
Mm.
And she is only 2.5. And I'm always real honored whenever she starts to give us great messages. So I can ask her if she wants to talk a little bit. We never try to force her. If she wants to, we'll, then she'll be able to speak to you. And Blue Otter, you can be as gentle as a butterfly.
Sure.
Because this is such a beautiful spirit. And just say hello and introduce yourself. Here's Crystal Ray.
Okay. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, is this Crystal Rain? Can you hear Blue Otter? This is Blue Otter. Can you hear me, Crystal? Hi. How are you tonight?
I'd love
watching you. Do you? I love you too. Is that right? I can't hear you real well, sweetheart.
It's like he loves me.
I know. I love you. A lot of people love you.
Loves me.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. There are a lot of people that will be listening. There's a lot of people that will be listening to you. I do too. If you would like to... Well, thank you.
Could you hear her?
I sure could. I wasn't sure when she was going to talk or how long, and so I interrupted. At first, I couldn't hear her real well, And then she spoke. I think she probably said what she was going to say. But she's a remarkable young lady.
She said, God loves you. And she said, blessings to all the people out there.
Well, she's a wonderful little young lady.
She said, God loves the family. So I thought that was it's quite a beautiful message from a little 2.5-year-old girl. So, yeah, this is one of the things that I think that people are not recognizing is they take a lot of these children and they bring them home and from the hospital or wherever they're born and they start to just lay them down on the bed and just think that they're just a kid and they don't know anything. But what is needed is that we need to recognize them, who they are, as this beautiful person that has made this earth journey, but not only making this earth journey, but choosing the parents that they're going to be making this journey with. And so each one of them need to be recognized as a person. Just think what it would have been like if we would all been recognized as a person and treated with such great respect and love, and how that would change the vibration of Mother Earth. Well, that's what these young people are coming in. And we've been in contact with people all over the world who have experience the same thing with children that are so phenomenal. They do such beautiful things. Crystal Rain was talking at the age of 6 months, and their first words was, love you. I couldn't believe it. My wife and I thought it was a fluke, and she kept go love you. And she just continues to add words to it. By the time she was 8 months old, she was potty trained. And so these exceptional children are all around us. And what it is people are just not recognizing who they are. You know, we go out and we pray for a great miracle. We say, come on, God, please send us a miracle. And what he did is he sent us his most precious emissaries of love. And now they are spread all over the world. It's not just Native American. It's black, it's white, it's yellow. All the families in the world are experiencing these kind of children. And they don't want to be in the violence, the anger, the fear, the judgment. They want to be in the beauty of things, to be able to come together and to bring back a balance of peace. Scientists are now examining a lot of these children and even saying that their DNA has changed. And that they have more strands to their DNA, and that they're able to understand and hold a higher vibration of energy than the previous ones who had come. And so this is a great time for change. And I know that the great Creator has done all he can to help us, but not interfering, but helping to bring back a sense of order to this world. And these children are the great peacemakers of tomorrow. And they not even belong to us, Brother Dare. They are here. And this little baby told me one time, because I was so proud of her and trying to show all the beautiful things that she could do. One day, as she had just turned two, and she said, Daddy, she says, I know I'm very smart, but she says, I just want to be a baby a little longer because I have so much work to do here. This is at 2 years old. And so we try to hold back a lot of things too. And we only asked her if she wants to do something and to be able to share, because the whole experience that is happening here is that as prophesied, we're going to be going through great changes. The world is changing around us. Mother Earth is changing. Even the star charts, things are changing. And everything around us is coming into this beautiful time. People are so afraid that we're coming to the end of our time. And I don't believe this, because you see, Creator made this beautiful planet, and he did bring it together to be able to hold such a beautiful balance of energy and love and his compassion that he's given to each one of us, just to take it and destroy it because we can't understand how to live in his sacred dream of peace. I don't see God as one of those vengeance gods, nor do I see him standing up there going, yeah, I'll help you Americans win that next war. I don't believe God is doing that. We've made God a war god. And one of the things that I found is most people have put Creator, God, out in the heaven, and then they just left him there. And have been trying to do things on their own. And so we need to learn how to bring God back where Creator needs to be, and that's in each one of our hearts. Brother Mackey and I, we were traveling all over the country and doing ceremonies and talks. And you know, one of the things that people wanted most from us was to make them powerful. And we tried to explain to them that this is not what it's all about, that it's not about being powerful. Because we had seen what we had done trying to be powerful. And the Creator gave us a beautiful gift called the power of reasoning. And that gift was given to us so we could make decisions that didn't hurt what was in front of us, beside us, and behind us. And yet, whenever man began to use this great power that had been given to him, he decided to empower himself over the earth, over the nations and the families. And we just about destroyed everything wanting to be powerful. So the message and the things that Brother Mackey and I were doing was not to make people powerful. and I chose to be here at this time. The life's experiences that I've had didn't bring me to, I didn't enjoy growing up and the things that was happening to me in my life, but it was, I figured that now I look back at it and I see that, that every part of it was a great journey.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
All the people that I've heard, all the people that have heard me, and all the things that happened in my childhood was to help me and prepare me for this work that I was doing at this time. And I never see myself going around the world and becoming a peace elder or to be able to speak about peace, because it was like one grandmother once told me, she says, Yellow Horse Man, she says, one day you're going to walk around the world and speak about peace. And I go, Grandma, you got the wrong guy, because I hate everybody. And she laughed and she said, that's going to change, you know, I couldn't see that. And you know, years later, that was exactly the work that I was doing. And it was on that journey that I met Brother Mackie Ruka, the Māori elder from New Zealand. There was a grandmother, Cree, up in Canada, and she had a dream that there was a big man who was coming, and she would recognize him by this big staff that he would be carrying. And one day, she heard about this lecture that was going to be given, and that there was this Māori elder coming from New Zealand, and he was going to be speaking there in Canada, and I think it was in British Columbia. And anyway, she went, and when she saw him, she just started crying, because Mackie was about 5'8", 5'7". He was about 400 pounds, and when she saw him, he had this big long stick, and nothing fancy, just a big long stick that he was walking with, and she just started crying. And after the talk, she went up to him and she says, "Oh, brother," she says, "I dreamed of you," and she says, "I dreamed of a time when you would walk around the earth and you would be walking with another elder that I know that you need to meet. And I dreamed that you would both come together and beautiful things would take place." And Brother Mackie, he's always been listening to all these people that have dreamed about him. And he shook his head, "Thank you, sister, thank you." And he was trying to get away. But this grandma, she was so persistent. She followed him and she said, "You don't understand. I know who this person is that you have to meet." And Brother Mackie said, "Oh, well, just write his number down or give me his name or something, you know." And so that number in his pocket, you know, and carried it around with him for a few months. And then finally one day, he was telling me later that he found this number in his pocket. He says, oh, this is who this grandma is that I'm supposed to meet. He says, you know, he's thinking to himself, I do everything alone. I don't need nobody. This is my journey, you know. And so then he looked at the number and he said, Yellow Horse Man, I can be called. So I got this strange message on my message machine. Hello, this is Mackie Luka, Mari Elder from New Zealand. Someone tell me I'm supposed to speak to you. Where are you, brother? And click. No telephone number. And then, you know, a few days later, I was home, and I, and the thing, a voice came on the line, and he says, hello, this is Mackie Luka, Mari Elder from New Zealand, and I'm looking for Yellow Horse Man. And I said, brother, this is, my name is Yellow Horse Man, and, I hadn't been told about this dream, from this grandmother, and so, he began to express it to me and told me that this elder grandmother, and in New Zealand, they really honor who grandmother is, because they consider the grandmother the wisdom keeper, the mother, the builder of man, the sister, the nature of all things. The same as when the native tribes here, we have a strong connection to the life givers and certainly the great wisdom of the grandmother. And so, Brother Mackie, we spoke for about 5 or 10 minutes, and he says, brother, he says, where are you? I've come to see you. And so I told him. The next day I get a call from him, brother, my ride can't make it. He says, let me tell you where I am. And so I drove from the town I was up to Seattle, and I found him up there. And you know, I picked him up and brought him home, and then we talked all the way home, and it was like we were just so close to each other. He said, brother, this is great. I never felt like I would like to ask someone to travel with me. You know, he said, people always travel with me, but none of them I ever asked to travel with me and work with me. And he said, I would like for you to do that. And I'm telling him, I said, well, brother, I have a wife and baby, and this was another wife and baby, and another time period. And, but anyway, that was how me and Brother Mackie got together. And then eventually we were doing ceremonies and workshops together, and then finally made a trip to New Zealand with him. And there I got to see the beauty of the matriarch in full bloom. The grandmothers were so powerful and so strong there, and the older that grandma got, the more she was respected for who she was. And so in the Maori tradition, a lot of the men step forward, and they're the ones who look like they're the ones who are doing all the teaching and the ceremony. But if one of them make a mistake, this little bitty grandma from way in the back sitting on the floor will get up and she'd walk over and she'd say, it's okay, darling. You can come back and try it again sometime.
All right.
And, you know, these great big robust Maori men, and they say, okay, thank you. And they're off, you know. And it's just so beautiful. People there, they truly speak from their heart. And one of the things that I seen there that was so beautiful was that the mirage, and here we would call them the longhouse, but the mirage were carved. All the walls are carved from the top to the bottom, and they start to recite all the genealogy of all the races and people who lot of different people throughout the world, and yet Brother really touched my heart. There was many times that, and every time that we went out to do something, there was always some kind of great big lesson to learn with it, because we always had these. I don't know if you ever travel with elders and people. It's like there's always going to be a lesson out there somewhere, and it seemed to always give you something else to look at and to teach you about. And
did he have a lot of tattoos?
Brother Mackey did not have tattoos. He had just a couple on his arm, but he wasn't the tattoo. You know what, Brother? You're very low to me.
Well, I know the their kings are pretty heavily tattooed. I was just wondering, as a holy man, if he was tattooed at all.
No, he had like I said, he had some tattoos, small ones, and he was saying that there the ones that there were other people that had those tattoos, and they were in certain clans, and so it wasn't just the holy people that were tattooed. It was a clan that would that you would belong to. Before the British came there, it was they really did a lot of the people were tattooed all over the whole body, the face, the body, and because that would also tell the story of the clan. It would be kind of like the totem poles, but that would tell about who they were and what families they came from, and so like when the British went there, and the British went there to take over New Zealand, and the Maori men fought so hard. And the British was not able to defeat them, so they wanted to get this land. So what they did is they sent for shiploads of mercenaries from all over, and a lot of the so-called Indian fighters from here went to New Zealand. And there was one that I can't remember the name now, but. They brought him over because he said he could wipe all these Maoris right off the face of the map. And so when he got there, not too long after he got there, the Maori captured him. And this time to show the British how fierce, they killed him and then they ate him. And, and so the British says, okay, that's it. So the Maori became one of the fewer indigenous people around the world that has a 50-50 partnership with the ones who came there to overpower them, because they were never defeated. And but they have trees there in New Zealand, Brother, that was, it would take 15 to 20 people hand in hand to reach around these trees. They were huge. 3,500-year-old trees, and the British, what they did is they started to cut the trees down, and at that time they were also in India, and so they took the timber from New Zealand, and that's what they built India with. And when I went there to New Zealand, I'm looking around and everybody's saying how beautiful it is, and I'm looking around and I'm going, Brother, where's your forest? And he looked at me and he said, they took it all, Brother. He said, they took it all. And there was only a few of these humongous trees there. We got to go and visit some of the places there. And we've seen one of these big, huge trees that was there. And I'm telling you, it was just a beautiful sight. Reminds me of some of the old growth forest up in Canada. And different places that I'd seen, but none as huge as this tree. And because it was so, so tall, and yet so huge. And but when we were there, we got to travel around to like I said, to different places, and New Zealand is on a it's the only country in the world that refused to have any nuclear power to come into their country. No nuclear ships can dock into their harbors, and no nuclear power plants were on the grounds of New Zealand. And how they get their power is from the steam that comes up from the earth. So they're on a volcano. excuse me. They're on a volcano there. And a lot of the islands and things that were there were built from volcano. But you can go to places and you can see, like we have here in the Yellowstone. That's a real common thing there, is to have all this steam and stuff coming up out of the ground. But they learned to harness that and to make the power that they needed. That was one of the first places that I ate fruit. And when they said their fruit is organic, I could not believe the taste of it.
Kiwi, huh?
No, it was, I mean, every kind of fruit, every kind of fruit, apples and plums and all the things that they grew there was just phenomenal, sweet.
Yeah, well, you can go down to Walmart and get some of the apples that are grown down there now.
Yes, I know they have to, but there, when you got them, they were real fresh.
Yeah.
And it was just, I never tasted one so beautiful.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. I guess I was looking on the internet, and that's called the Kauri tree. It's spelled almost like Maori, but with a K. It's K-A-U-R-I.
Right.
It says they have an incredibly hard wood.
And they used to build what they called the waka. It was a great huge canoe, and the Maori tell the story. Of coming here across the ocean and coming here, and they said they dropped older brother. They called the native people here older brother, and they had dropped an older brother here. And one of the prophecies that was given to them was that one day that they would return, and that they would unite with the older brother here, and that they would bring the firestone. Now there in New Zealand, the firestone was called, we call it jade. They call it the pondamo, and the greenstone. And so the prophecy was that one day there had to be another prophecy that would take place before they would bring the firestone back to older brother here and unite with them. And the prophecy, believe it or not, was that one day a man from the moon would come, and he would speak to them about a certain color, and says once this man comes and he speaks of this certain color, the man from the moon, then that that it would be time to send out the messengers to go around to all the sacred sites of the world. And to bring back the firestone, the sacred stone, and to put it in these sacred places throughout the world. And so, I forget which one of the astronauts it was, Armstrong or another one, but anyway, one of them that was from Texas. And before this prophecy could take place, there was one that had to take place here. On this side of the world, and that was when the prophecy was given that when the eagle lands on the moon, then all the things will change and the people will begin to dress like us, to walk like us, to speak like us, to call the earth their mother once again. And so this prophecy happened whenever they supposedly made their journey to the moon, and you know I said supposedly, and
uh-huh.
And,
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
And so but when they landed on the moon, they could say anything in the world that they wanted to say, but their first words was, "The eagle has landed." And so from this prophecy came the man who walked on the moon. And so he was traveling around the country, and so he went to New Zealand, and the people in New Zealand, the Maori, got really excited because they heard that the man from the moon was coming to speak to them, and so they said that if this man from the moon is actually the one who has made that journey and has come back to speak to us, he will speak of the color purple. And so they bring this guy in, and everyone in the Maori were going, "I wonder what he looks like." And so when they brought him before him, and they were talking in their own language, but the Maki said, and he says, "You look like just another white guy." And so they introduced him, and he begins to talk, and he says, "Hello, I'm from Texas, and I've come here to share with you about..." And so they were trying to translate, and they were giving the translation a kind of a Texas accent. So the people were kind of laughing, and then all of a sudden he was talking, and he says, "You know," he says, "every time I would pass a certain area," he says, "I would look out the spaceship," and he says, "there was a color there, a purple," and he says, "the purple ray just coming up around this one area." He says, "I call back to NASA, and they pinpoint and said that it was covering around the area of New Zealand."
Oh my!
And so the Maori people looked at each other, and they had the big tears in their eyes, and they knew that it was time to send out some of their messengers to bring out their messages that the world needed to hear. And so, and this is how Brother Mackey was telling me the story.
Well, that's amazing, because it was in the late '60s, you know, when '69 when we landed on the moon, and. But that was a time of a lot of activity. A lot of elders started teaching.
Right.
A lot of the Hopi prophecies were fulfilled. There was a tremendous flurry of teaching. And then there was also, as was prophesied, there was a lot of the grandchildren of, or great-grandchildren of the whites that had killed Indians that were ready to learn.
Right.
And were interested in Native ways and were listening.
And that's exactly what happened, brother. And you know, wherever I've gone, I found where one prophecy ends, another one begins. We are all so closely related to each other. It is so sad that we're not listening to each other. Because each one was given a message, a piece to this puzzle. And if we put all the pieces together, we would have no fight over this land or to bring any more hardships to people throughout the world, because this is really a time that we need to come together once again as family. You know what is so sad is that we have to have a big tragedy happen before everyone comes together and says, I'm sorry. We have to have people dying before people realize how much they're going to miss that person. We lose sight of that beautiful inner spirit within each one of us that tells us how important each person is on this planet. Like little Crystal Rain, that you just heard her little voice and her sweet little message, is every person is so important, and every time that we do something and cause the chaos, this is not a time for us to be able to get lost in our own selves and to be able to destroy Mother Earth, but a time for us to come together and to see that Creator had a great dream, and we are that dream, and each one of us has a time period that we need to walk this earth to be a part of that dream. And so, you know, when we're talking about the leaders of the world, everybody asks me, says, who did you vote for? And I tell them, I says, you know, I haven't voted in my entire life. And they ask me why. And I says, well, I says, in this country, there hasn't been any real leaders for at least 500 years.
Isn't that the truth?
Because people forget what a leader is. They're not one who embellishes themselves with the hierarchy of not being able to go out to touch the people that they're supposed to be representing. One of the great stories that I heard about Sitting Bull was that when all the wars was happening, he was one of the first chiefs to walk up and to take a man's wife who had not lost her husband, and to console her and say, it's going to be okay, sister. Everything's going to be okay because we're going to take care of you. We're all family. He did a lot of consulting in those times because there were so many people that were passing and being slaughtered. And yet, in this damn time, people forget how tremendously hurt things that was done to the native people here. Everybody calls this their country, but this is the home of all the human beings. I think on your message there that I seen on your board, you said that I was going to tell everyone what the human beings was.
Right.
And
before we do that, I promised that. You know, for folks that are following along and have an internet connection, if they'd like to go to your website, you're at www.yellowhorseman.com. And you especially wanted children under the age of 18, then go to yellowhorseman.com/children.htm, I believe. And you wanted anybody under 18 to leave a message about peace.
Yes. I want to tell you about that dream that I had, Brother. I've had a lot of dreams, and this was a very beautiful dream that I had, and I was talking to Great Spirit, and I says, who really believes in you anymore? And the voice was so clear. He says, my children, they're my messengers of peace. And I came out of this dream. I was actually sitting in my car, and had dozed off, and when I came out of this dream, I says, oh my goodness, I says, the children, the messengers of peace, I says, I have to do something with that. So I talked to people about it, and then finally when someone put up a website for me, I never put up that website, someone did it for me for a year and a half. I never had a computer to look at it. I would only call in and tell them what I would like to put on it. I very rarely got to look at it, but now I have a computer, I still don't operate it too good, but my wife does. But anyway, that dream, I put it on the website so that any young people out there, 18 years and under, can write their message in peace on there. And that is going to be turned into a book to go to help starving children around the world. The peacemakers of tomorrow will feed the world. I love it. And I think that's real important that that people would be able to get that message and to help their children to be able to share that message that would bring hope to other children that may not ever have hope in other ways. And so I hope that people out there would be able to go to the website and find that. One of the things that saddens me is that I've had it up there like that for a long time. And I found it that people can't even listen to their children long enough to write their message of peace on there or to help them to do that. And so I know that there are a lot of young people, and I've been getting some very, very beautiful messages. I think you got a chance to go and read some of them. And young people from all over the country. And I'm hoping that even throughout the world that there would be children from other parts of the world that can write their message of peace. Because once we have enough messages, the first book will be written, and then the proceeds is going to go to help, like I said, the hungry children around the world. So, thank you for mentioning that, brother.
Oh. Well, what do you think are the most pressing needs that people have nowadays?
Brother, you are very low.
What do you think the most pressing needs that people have nowadays?
The most pressing needs?
Right.
I would say that one of the things that is needed is that this last millennium that we were in was separation and control. We did that with All Too Well. And this new millennium is illumination and awareness. And I think that this is one of the things that that we need to come together as families. And this way that we have this system set up, it begins to separate the families at such an early age. When the children are sent away to the school, they separate from their parents. When the parents are off to their work, they separate from each other. Until eventually, there's such a separation in the families that everyone has forgotten what it is truly like to be a family, to really enjoy each other. We rush our kids off to soccer practice, basketball practice, hockey, baseball. We keep them so busy and so preoccupied that we're still not really spending any time with them. People don't sit down to meals anymore. They're always moving and on the go. And in the old times, that was a very sacred thing, was to be able to sit with the family, to eat together, to pray together, to go to spiritual gatherings to be always around and helping each other and being a part of each other's lives. And it's so funny that this linear type system, the first thing that they do is they try to separate you from your spirit walk of who you are. By going into the linear type schools, you sit down into a desk and as a little child, and then you start to dream about who you are. And once you're looking out that window and dreaming of all the things that you're going to do, and someone comes along and says, "Stop that. Get back. Stop that dreaming. Get back to work." And your spirit shocks back in your body, and you look around and all the kids are laughing at you. And this is done time and time again. So pretty soon you forget your dream. I counsel so many people all over the country, and they are trying to figure out who they are. And years later, and the same school you go, they set you up in front of all the people, and they tell you, now you're young adults. Use your imagination and your dream. And everybody's looking at each other. What dream? What imagination? All I know is that there was 42 presidents and 52 states. And brother, it's a separation that is done. And you know, the more that we keep trying to put our families and everybody through this kind of training, the more further we're going to get behind. And so we need to change that way of learning. I love the way Native people taught. They taught in the oral tradition. You sat and you listened. You watched and you learned. You didn't have to ask many questions because everything was always explained to you. This is how we chose to raise our daughter, Krista Rain. We explained everything to her. We talked to her like this beautiful person that she is. We put no separation in her family. Everywhere we go, Krista Rain goes with us. We do everything as a family. And even the work I'm doing, when I'm going out to do talks or lectures or ceremonies or whatever it is that's taking place, my family is there with me. And it's always such a great joy to look and see their beautiful faces right there along with me. And because then I know that we're making this journey together. And I think that this is one of the things that's been a great loss to a lot of people out there who are listening on this line. It's that separation and that withdrawal of who family really is. And I think that this is another thing is that right now throughout the world we're fighting with a lot of health challenges. One of the things that Brother Mackey and I spoke a lot about was that there would be diseases that would be coming back that would be affecting the whole world. And you know, we were talking about the Ebola and also the flesh-eating disease. And not too long ago, Brother, right here in Georgia, not too far away from where we are, there was an elder's home that was affected with this a flesh-eating disease, and it started to, and they had to quarantine off these and had to do amputations to some of those elders. But these things are here, and they are very much alive. And why are they here? We created them because we wanted to be able to use them in some other way.
Well, I know they've got some kind of a bacteria that invaded the rivers in North Carolina, and they found out that the reason why the bacteria was growing was because of all the pollutants that were pumped into the river, and they created such a situation that it allowed this red bacteria to grow, and this stuff would actually eat your flesh. There was a book written about it, and I was absolutely astounded.
Oh, yeah.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of wisefoods.org. Our Native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from wisefoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year's supply from wisefoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
Well, this is one of the things that is so crucial here throughout the world. Is you know, like a lot of the fresh water throughout the world is being destroyed. And this is something that that the native people had understood is how sacred this water was. In ceremonies, we use the water in a lot of our ceremonies, and we pray with this water because we know that this is the sacred life giver. I was given the task one time, even going out to learn more about what water really meant, and so I learned from the experience of going out, and I learned that the water comes from a place that never empties, goes to a place that never fills. But without the sacred gift, nothing can survive. And you know, we've forgotten how precious this water is. And so we've changed the course of the rivers. We've altered all the land around it. And we've put up the nuclear power plants. You know, like just when they tell the native people, oh, we're going to put up this nuclear power plant here up on the Hood River. It's never going to harm you. And now they tell them you can only eat one salmon a month that comes up that river because it will harm you. So this is how we have become. We've become so careless with these gifts. And we always talk about the future generations as being our greatest gifts. And yet we're destroying the very life source. And in the beginning of time, we were given the original instructions on how to live here. And those instructions were so simple, is that we would be healthy, we would be happy, that we would be respectful, that we would honor, that we would be generous. All the great teachings that came along behind each one of those. And yet, we have forgotten how to be happy. We're never happy with who we are. We have forgotten how to be healthy because look at our bodies, look at our families, look at around the world, sickness, disease that we have no cures for, or that they say that there's no cure for.
Yeah, you said Mackie was very heavy. I'm very heavy myself, and you know, obesity is something that's working its way even into societies that you know, the societies as they become industrialized, they're starting to eat more fat, and you know, breast cancer, which was unheard of a few years ago in Japan, people are starting to get breast cancer, and they figured out it's because of the fatty diets that we're eating.
Well, this is one of the things throughout the world. You don't have to look very far to find that this problem is one of the biggest problems in the world that we're facing is obesity, diabetes. On Indian reservations, I know that there's a lot of reserves there that are touched with diabetes, and so it's a lot of the diets and things that we have gotten ourselves into, the sugars you know, there's 32 grains in the world that feeds the world. But since we started to put everything in a box, we destroyed the essence of what those grains originally were. And so it's become a fatty carbohydrate diet. And people throughout the world are being touched by this now. One of the things that came across this product and not too long ago, last October, and I was a good 260 I'm not that old, and so, but I was looking, and they were thinking that I was not going to make it for the next year, but I got on this product, and I've lost 42 pounds. My heart rate has gone down. My blood pressure is down to 116 over 72.
Outstanding.
I could not believe it. I'm like a young man again.
How'd you do it?
I was taking this product called Calorad.
Oh, I've heard a lot about that.
And Calorad was first introduced from Canada. They had a problem with the chicken laying in 1985. And they were getting what was called the fatty liver syndrome. It reminds me a lot of what human beings are getting. The scientists who came up with this formula, and at that time it was a powder, and so they gave it to the chickens, and within 5 days these chickens started laying again, and they lost all this weight, but they were still had the muscle tissue, and so the one who, Michelle, who invented this, decided that he was going to try the product on himself. And so he did, and for the first little while he didn't notice too much changes, and then one day he realized that his muscles in his chest had pulled back, that he had started to lose inches, but he wasn't losing like a lot of weight. So he went back, he reformulated it, and he came up with this product called Calorad, and now Calorad is being utilized all over the country, thousands and thousands of people. And what it does is has a collagen base to it.
It's a bovine, I guess it comes from
it's
cows.
It's bovine collagen base.
Right.
And so that means that it's taken from the hide, right next to the hide, but it's freeze-dried and put through this process that you can't even tell anymore that it came from the bovine. Because it's total mental, the way that this guy figured out how to do this. Now what it does is in the first 90 minutes of your sleep, when you go to sleep, that's whenever your body actually rejuvenates itself. And then it starts to rebuild the tissues. And this is when you take the Calorad is 1 tablespoon. 3 hours before you go to bed, you have no food, and you take the Calorad as the last thing that you do, and then you go to sleep, and then the weight starts to disappear. But not only has my weight disappeared, but also my knee joints that I could barely get down and up, my elbow that was had arthritis so bad and everything, and was not able to straighten out my arm. Now it's perfectly straight. I'm so excited that there's a product out there that actually really does what it says it's going to do.
Well, collagen would rebuild your what do they call it? The cartilage matrix.
That's right. The collagen, your body is made up of 1/3. Collagen, and so that means your eyeballs are all collagen, your brain is collagen, your joints, the hide that's over your skin has that collagen base underneath it. Everything that your vessels, your intestines, everything is made up of this collagen, and so. Like what it is our diet that we have doesn't give us those the minerals that we need to rebuild our own collagen, and so we have to be able to help this come back to us. Now the native people here used to scrape those hides, and they would put all that stuff in their soup. They never wasted anything, and you know, like they were very strong in helping people.
Oh yeah,
and so. When people came here, that was one of the things that they admired was the strength and the mobility oxygen like we call it today. It was just a great food source, you know, good energy booster. And that's what this Calorad does, is it boosts up your energy. It helps to rebuild your tissue.
Well, I you know, my first wife died of cancer about 9 years ago. My first wife died at age 48, and her mother died in 71 at age 51. But before my wife passed away, she became very prophetic and made some statements, all of which has come true, except for one of them, and she said that someday that I would find... Now, folks, I weigh well over 400 pounds, almost 500 pounds.
Wow.
And I'm 6 feet tall, so, you know, I'm 6 feet tall and 6 feet around the chest and all, you know, 6 feet around the waist. So I'm a very large person. I have a lot of problems with mobility and energy. Never had a lot of energy. But she said that someday that I would find a natural way to lose weight. And from what I remember reading a couple of years ago, that this collagen works with your body, and I think it readjusts your thermostat and your metabolism, and does all kinds of good things for you. And but at the time, and you know, and even at this time, I thought, well, you know, the price was pretty steep, but you know, it wouldn't be for a lot of people that make more money than I do, but now I understand, you know, you can become a distributor for, say, $10, and you know, and get this stuff at wholesale, and this is going to help a lot of people. And I'm going to be doing this because I've got to lose weight or die, basically.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but you know, it's so sad that people will go out and they will actually staple up their stomachs.
That's what my wife is thinking of doing.
So that they don't eat so much and that they can lose the weight. You know, all these other kinds of things that people are doing, and really what they need to do is, and this is one thing that's really important. Like when you're taking a product like this, you have to take it the way that it's told to be taken. You can't go to the refrigerator, eat a bunch of junk, and then take your calories.
Well, you got to stop eating three hours before you go to sleep?
3 hours before you go to sleep, no food. You take a 1 tablespoon of the Calorad. You can put it in an 8-ounce glass of water and just drink it down and fall asleep. And that's exactly what I did. And then they have also the AM one. When you get up in the morning, first thing you do, is you take a tablespoon of the AM, and so you have the AM and the PM, and an hour before you have breakfast, and then that's it, and you allow the collagen to actually go throughout your body to the places that's needed, and then people start to actually lose inches before they start to. A lot of times before they start to lose pounds. Now, the first month, I lost 14 pounds. But I eat a fairly healthy diet. Every once in a while, I like a cookie or something. I think that's an elder trip, you know?
Yeah.
I eat mostly all organic. And everything, unless we go out somewhere and we don't have that, then we eat what is there. But we work on a pretty healthy way of living, but even that, I've allowed myself to get very run down. And so when I came across this product, they had to really convince me that it would work for me. And I had met some people that had been on it for years, and I said, well, you don't look like you needed it. And they said, oh, yeah, but you didn't see me like years ago. Anyway, I listened to the stories and finally, and I'm not one of those people that I didn't take any vitamins, I didn't take anything, I didn't believe too much in endorsing anything, but whenever this I got on this product, and within the first month, I noticed the 14-pound loss, but I noticed also a difference in my posture, my adjustment that I would usually go to the chiropractor and have an adjustment, and it would not hold, you know, but since I've been taking the Calorant, even the adjustment by the chiropractor has held so long that he thinks he's out of a job.
Yeah, well, that would make sense because the ligaments would be holding the adjustments in better.
This is one of the things that people can do is people can go to my website. And on my website, you can find a link. And because I'm also a distributor from this company, because of the results that I have received from it, and like, I'm not trying to make any fortune off of anyone. I found something that really works, and you know, like. And I think that's one of the things that we need to know how to do is whenever we have something that really works, is to pass it on so that we can touch other people in that way. And I call that good medicine.
How do you find the link on your website?
Beg your pardon?
How do you find that link on your website?
If you go to my website, you can go to links.
Oh, yeah, and it's under links. Just down at the bottom, click on links.
Yes, and I think you'll see it.
Yeah, about halfway down.
Yeah.
It's EYICOM.
That's right.
.com, right.
That's right. And the EYI company also has other products out, and one of them is called Osea. And that has been phenomenal for people because our bodies are so depleted of the oxygen that we're breathing is so polluted. So poison, and so the oxygen actually gives the body back the oxygen that is needed.
Let me tell you an interesting story. You know, I was looking at this earlier, and I noticed that EYICOM.com sells Agricept, and Agricept is a way to treat candida. Now, let me tell you an interesting story. About 10 years ago. I found maybe a foot long piece of Romex wire, which is what they put in houses for wiring.
Uh-huh.
And it had some pretty heavy duty copper wire in it. And so I thought, oh gee, that'd be interesting. I said, I understand a lot. You know, people in different cultures, you know, sometimes they'll wear copper bracelets and claim they get some health benefits from it. So I spent a couple hours. I stripped the shielding away and got the copper wire out. The copper wires are maybe an eighth of an inch, you know, and I braided them together, and then I made them into a bracelet, and I was wearing that bracelet for maybe an hour and a half, and I started smelling what I thought was bread cooking.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
And I said to my wife, I said, "Hey, honey," I said, "are you cooking fresh bread?" She said, "No." And you got to understand, you know, we're in a 35-foot fifth-wheel trailer out in the Utah desert, and the wind's blowing. And I said, "No, come on." I said, "I can smell yeast so strong." I said, "You have got to be cooking fresh bread." And she says, "No, honey." She says, "I'm not kidding." She says, "There's something wrong with your nose." She says, "I'm not cooking bread." And I thought to myself, "Oh, my gosh." I said, "I've been sitting here wearing this copper bracelet, you know, for about an hour and a half." I said, the only explanation was is that copper, and I'd been hearing about candida, and I knew that it was a yeast,
right,
a yeast thing, and I thought, oh, man, I said, I'm probably eating up with yeast, and, you know, a lot of people are. It's a, so what do you know about candida? What is it, candida albicans?
Yeah, candida is the yeast that builds up in the body, and what happens is too is, say like if you're actually trying to do any weight loss program, one of the things that you have to do is get rid of that yeast buildup, and you know, like a lot of people think that it's just women that get the yeast buildup, but it's not true. Men also get yeast buildup in their body. And the agrisap, because it has five citrics in it, is able to help to kill a lot of that yeast bacteria.
It's like a grapefruit seed oil or something, yeah.
Grapefruit, it has lemon, it has orange. It's just all the five citrics that goes into that. And everybody was so excited about the grapefruit one, and they were all out taking that, but this one here has put the five together and has made a powerful kind of antibiotic for killing off a lot of bacteria. They also use you can use that to spray on your vegetables and to kill any bacteria that is on your vegetables and fruits and things, so you can wash them in the. And so it's just good for a lot of different things, but it's really good to kill the yeast in the body. And then once you take in the Calorad and that, you want to be taking like the Agrisap every day, 2-3 times a day, in a glass of water, put 4 or 5 drops, and then a cap full of the Oxyap water. You get the oxygen, the bacteria fighter, and then this kills a lot of the yeast infection, and then all of a sudden you start to lose that weight. And so it took a long time to be able to put on a lot of these pounds, and a lot of people out there that have these problems will try anything, and a lot of times they go towards the cheaper kind of products out there, and a lot of times they just don't do what they say they're going to do. And it's kind of like watching those commercials on TV where they say, "Take this product, it'll cure, the running nose." Oh yeah, it does have a side effect. It could destroy your liver.
Right.
And you know, like people just, "Oh, give me those nose drops, I really need it." But don't you need your liver? I mean, Calorad is one of the safest products on the market. It has no side effects. They will never promise that you can lose weight, but they can promise you this, that if you don't give it a try, and you know, like you can't just take it for 1 month and then stop. It's like it's known a lot of the world is the health challenges that people are going through, and sometimes there's some real breakthrough products out there, and a lot of times they don't get the exposure that they need to be able to actually touch the masses of people. One of the things that me and Brother Mackey were doing too is when we were doing ceremonies and that, we were doing crystal healing workshops, and I was working with Brother Mackey like that for 4 years. We're doing these workshops, and we had different people coming for all kinds of different things, and one lady came, I'm not trying to sound like any kind of a doctor or anything like that. I'm not a doctor. I believe in our prayers. I believe in good medicine. I believe in talking with people, finding out what is really going on in their lives, whether they're hurting from a relationship, or whether they're angry at their job, or whether they're disappointed with their parents, or whatever the things that have happened in their lives. A lot of times this brings on what we call disease because of the traumas and things that we experience. And so we don't realize that clearing up a lot of that old energy and that old energy patterns is what can give us back a new free spirit and the willpower to go on and to do what we're supposed to do here. But there was this one lady who had came to Brother Maggie and I, and she had gone through the leukemia chemotherapy, and she was almost like a dish rag when they brought her in, but she couldn't walk. And Brother Maggie looking at me, and he bring me to the side, and he says, "I don't know, Brother." He says, "She looks pretty gone." And I says, "Well," I says, "they asked us just to work with her." And I said, "So let's just go ahead and work with her." So we made a prayer about it, and we came back and we told the lady, "You gotta leave her here 4 days." And so the people, they are looking at us, and they says, "Well, where do we go?" We says, "We don't care. Just leave her here for 4 days. Otherwise you take her back home." And so these people, they went and got a room, and so this woman stayed there with us, and she was an older woman too, she stayed there with us for 4 days. Now, around the clock, we were doing ceremony with her and doing crystal layout, and then Brother Mackey made this fantastic soup, and it was chicken soup, and he says, now Brother, this is the secret. And he said, "You got to put the English black tea in the soup 15 minutes.
Is that right?
Before you're going to serve it." And he said, "This mixed with the broth, the vegetables, and that," he says, "is going to help this lady to revive herself." So we prayed with this chicken soup, and then we made this, put that black tea in there. And then we continued to pray with her, and 4 days later, when these people came back, they could not believe it was the same woman that they left there. She was running up and down the stairs. She was so excited. She says, I feel so great, and you know, these two men have just nurtured me, and I never felt so much caring, and so she." They took her back to Florida, and she drove herself halfway back to Florida. She drove all the way from Florida. They drove her from Florida to come up there to see us in Washington. And so anyway, when she went, we got a message from her that she had driven halfway back herself. She just felt so good. And then 3 months later, she was still doing great. And the doctors convinced her to go back to chemotherapy. 2 months later, she was dead.
Oh, yeah.
That is, they wanted to finish the chemo that they had started with her. And she was actually, had regained her strength
Well, that's all that they'll allow here in the United States. Dr. Chief Charles Rogers, who's the chief of the Cherokee Nation of Mexico, which is recognized by the Republic of Mexico, federally recognized, he learned Cherokee medicine from his grandmother, and he was the man that discovered Sequoia's grave, which Cherokee's been looking for a long time. But his website is at www.doctorofhope.com. And you ought to go on and read it, because he uses a blend of he's a medical school graduate. He uses a blend of traditional and modern medicine, and he uses agents instead of injecting them into the body. He uses them on the parts of the body that are affected, and he says chemotherapy is not really effective in cold parts of the body like the lungs and the brain and other parts, and he has tremendous success, and actually I got a call from him last week. They're starting up an internet radio show.
Oh, cool.
And kind of we're picking my brains, and I was picking theirs. Awful glad to hear from him. I've been trying to get a hold of him for about a year and a half, but check out doctorofhope.com, and that's a traditional Cherokee medicine man who's blending the old with the new and having a tremendous success.
Well, this is one of the things that, you know, like that is a real crime. It's because the way that the traditional medicines were taught, and that, you know, and it was passed on through generational understanding, and so long before there was any of these medical doctors and people that came here, the people here had plants and things that they had actually even put into their own foods, and but plants that they used especially just for the medicines and that. And this was and so it was like the grandmothers would teach this, and it was passed on that these medicines and things would cure certain types of illness.
Oh yeah, Frank Fulscrow was using.
And now they. Everybody says, oh, it's so crazy that you would take herbs. I mean, give me a break. You know, I just can't believe that
where
people have become that kind of naive.
Where do they think their pharmaceuticals come from?
They're derivatives of herbs.
That's right.
But once they're finished with them, I don't think there's much there.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Atahualpa was the emperor of the Inca Empire, and at the time that Francisco Pizarro conquered Peru for Spain, and they captured Atahualpa and told them, well, you know, if you'll fill this room up, you know, once with gold and twice with silver, we'll let you go. And he said, oh, no problem. And so he brought them all the gold and everything, and they still strangled him to death. They broke their word. But he, you know, the coca leaf is used to in South America. They chew the actual leaf, and it fortifies them and gives them a little bit of a lift. But he made a prophecy at that time. He said that the coca leaf would fortify the Indian, but would become a curse to the white man. And that's exactly what cocaine has become.
Right.
You take something good and amplify it way out of proportion, right. And it's bad for you.
Right.
Marijuana is the same deal. It's just it's used in a wrong way. It has specific uses, and you know, people are just using things for the wrong reason. I know Frank Fulscrow, you know, was curing people of cancer using echinacea, but I mean, the echinacea plants he would go gather, I mean, the roots were as big as your thumb.
Right.
And I don't know if you ever chewed echinacea, but boy, I'll tell you, that it takes some echinacea, put it in your mouth, and it'll numb your mouth. It's amazing stuff.
Right.
It's amazing stuff. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, one of the things that I wanted to say is that, you know, the Creator taught us to read. He lent us the world for a book. And, you know, we haven't even really come to a small portion of understanding of this beautiful world that Creator has made. Because when you understand understood how to live this way with the nature. And they honored and they blessed everything that they took from Mother Earth by leaving an offering for it. Always not just picking from the plant that they had prayed upon, but going to the next plant so that they would ensure that the seeds would fall to the ground and that it would replenish. When people are going out and picking herbs and medicines and things today, they go out and they take everything. They don't leave nothing behind for the next seed, the next generation. And that's kind of what we're doing across this earth, is we're not leaving behind the things that needs to be for the generations to come, including the knowledge about these herbs and medicines and the way that people can heal. I told people, I says, you know, I says, one day we're going to make, they always tell me that they want to know the great medicine people that I learned with. And I says, you know, I says, one day you're going to make the greatest medicine person of all. And they said, that's the one I want to work with. I said, don't worry, you'll see him someday. And that's great spirit, because I believe that great spirit can heal. I've seen the beauty in ceremonies and all across the country where people were truly believing in the prayers. And I've seen miraculous things take place. People get out of wheelchairs, just beautiful things that transpires, you know. But it's when we stop believing in our prayers, and we make a prayer, and then we step around the corner and we say, I prayed for that, but I don't believe it's going to happen. It just, people have forgotten how to believe in who Great Spirit is. I know that there's a plan here for all of us, and I know that there's good medicine for each one of us to learn from. And whether it be from the rooted kind or whether it be from the life lessons that we go through, it's all good medicine that we have here to work with. What I want to tell people out there is that in their lives, no trauma, no experiences is too hard to work through. I know I've had so many in my life this time. So it's the more that you work through what is happening in your own life and changing the vibration of who you are. And it's like when these elders was working with me, and they believed so much more in me than I believed them, that I could be helped. But one elder told me, says, I see the beautiful human being that you are. And he says, it's just those damn behaviors that need to change.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
And, you know, it took a while for that to sink in. But it was my own changes that I had to go through. I always tell people I haven't always been like the spiritual elder and walking this way, because I went through tremendous grief and pain in my own life and dropped off in an orphanage at 83 and then foster homes and just so much abuse and leaving foster homes at age 15 and jumping freight all across this country. judgment that we have against other people. And because when we get back to spirit realm, we're going to meet those same people that we thought we hated so much here. And we're going to look at them and we're going to go, you know, you had me believing it was really real this time. You did it so well. And you're going to realize that someone came here to help you to make that experience. And in spirit realm, we escalate along our line to become one day a spirit helper down here on Mother Earth. But we have to go through a tremendous amount of learning and experiences to be able to understand each and everything that a person is given to walk this earth. This is a challenging place. And in spirit realm, we don't have these challenges, only here. And so Native people never looked to Creator as someone who would throw them into a hellfire and damnation kind of a place. Because we believed that we came here to make our experiences. And when we get back to spirit realm, it's a beautiful, calm, beautiful place that all of us can truly take a rest. And none of us is going to be here forever. So this is also a time of learning and a time of being able to help others to come through their experiences. And this is a lot of the work that I do. I work with couples, relationships, and I'm very good at working with relationships. I've had at least six myself.
You sound like a Cherokee.
Yeah, this is all experiences and things that I learned from. And one of the things I want to say to all the men out there is that we really need to learn how to respect these life givers. I grew up with no respect. I didn't know how to honor who a woman was. And felt rejected and abandoned by my own mother, so I thought that it was very difficult for me to honor who a woman is. And I think that sent me on a big journey throughout the world. And I think that's why that I've come into contact with so many matriarchal tribes is to learn who these women are. And one time I was giving a talk and I was speaking about the life givers. And I asked the people there, I says, who is the gift of grace? Who is the gift of grace? And you know, everybody's looking around and they all were talking about the gift of grace. And so then I told them, I said, in the ancient time, in the original instructions, the Creator spoke to the mankind. And he told them that the beautiful gift of grace would walk beside him. And that this would be the closest that man would come to heaven on earth through the gift of grace. And so there we entered the first sacred water of Mother. And there we are coming to the heartbeat of who Mother is. And for those 9 months that we're submerged in that first sacred water, we understand unconditional love. And then we are born from that beautiful womb of Mother in the first sacred water to drink of the sacred waters of Mother Earth. We forgot how sacred everything is. We always pray for the great miracles and for the things to come to help to change our lives. And yet, they're always all around us. So I think my journey was to learn about who Mother was and how sacred that her dream was to be able to born as children. And when a young girl is born, she has been touched by great spirits, and beautiful spirits are come to be around her. And these little spirits that journey with her many times as she's growing up, they become her playmates. And she gives them names nobody else can see them. And then one day when she becomes old enough and ready, and in the timeline that she finds the mate that is to be their father, then they become her children. These are the spirit It doesn't matter whatever else that she does in her life. Nothing is more powerful than to be able to bring that new life through. And I think that the men have forgotten what it is to be a man. And in this patriarchal society, we treat the life givers with so much disrespect.
Absolutely. You wanted, speaking of disrespect, you wanted me to remind you to talk about genetic engineering.
Oh, yeah. One of my great topics. I'm so...
Let her rip.
Yeah. You know, I had a dream about, 8-10 years ago now, about... And we were all put into big circles, and in the big circles, the people were told that they had to take out all the plants that didn't belong there, the ones that were not grown with the original seeds. They had to all be, and in the dream, we were putting them on boats and places and shipping them out to all the places that they came from. And it was so funny, whoever was orchestrating this, everyone was listening to them, but even the ones who weren't listening, they were put back on the boats, and they were shipped back to where they came from. But the great circles that they showed was that they were replanting the original seeds, and they were in there, they were so insistent that these were the only ones that would ever grow here again. And then 8-10 years later, they start to talk about the genetic engineered, genetic modified seeds and stuff that they were putting out, and how each one of these things was going to be so great, it was going to feed the world, but everybody would have to come to them to get seeds every year because they wouldn't reproduce. And this is what they had done to alter them. And so now, throughout the world, there's many places that won't even accept anything that is genetic modified. And so a lot of times when you go into the stores and that, you see a lot of the labels now that they have that. We steer clear of every one of those things. Because funny things are happening. There's a lot more males who are becoming sterile. There's a lot of things.
And that's fulfilling a Hopi prophecy.
I'm going to tell you. And it's really saddening my heart to know that we are coming to that place where we don't really care. We're so concerned with our greed and our profits. That we're not concerned with future generations, nor are we concerned about the health challenges that comes from these. It's kind of like a lot of the dairy industries and things that are going on now. You've got to go to a website. Have you seen that one that says not milk?
No.
You've got to find it. Because when it starts talking about the pus factor of the milk, I mean, it's enough to to deter you from ever wanting to have another glass of milk.
Well, you know, milk is one thing. I mean, cow's milk is the problem. If people would drink goat's milk, they wouldn't have all the problems that they have with milk. Cow's milk was not meant for people. Goat's milk is wonderful stuff. All the negative stuff that happens when you eat cow's milk will not happen when you eat goat's milk. It's different.
Yeah, we steer clear of dairy, I feel that a lot of those products and things that people are consuming isn't pure for their systems.
Well, it's all the hormones. And by the way, it's notmilk.com, and it's all the hormones and stuff that they put into it.
Yeah, you got it. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, it's notmilk.com.
That's right. Well, that would blow you away. It's the hormones, it's a lot of the other things that, people don't realize that, you know, if you took a Geiger counter and went into a market serving you real fresh fruits and vegetables and stuff, and took a reading on them, you'd be going, oh my God. We did that one time. And we were showing people, oh, you're going to eat this? Look how much radiation this has in it.
Oh yeah, most native people are lactose intolerant, and I know my wife is, but she can, like I said, she gets along perfectly. There's a vast difference between milks, and the biggest problem with cow's milk is that the fat globules are so huge that that you tend to gain weight with it and causes problems, and you know, it gives you you know, that effect of you get you know, runny nose and stuff when you and your throat tightens up when you drink it, and but on the other hand, you know, and all the chemicals that are put into it. But we've got some close friends that have a goat dairy, and it's absolutely totally different. I mean, you'll drink this goat's milk and you'll feel a rush of energy. And you know, I've actually seen miraculous things done in the with goats. So, you know, it's all a matter of, you know, what did Creator make? And nobody knows about goat's milk. They just don't know about it.
Well, you know, it's one thing to understand what is really that really works for you, but one of the things that I know is that the native people here, their tolerance for milk and cheese and all those kind of things, and these were the very same things that when they made the treaties and that they brought to the native people. And so along with the white flours and the sugars and the rotten pork that they gave to them, and when they did get meat, and then of course the beans and stuff, you know, that came. But the that was one of the things that really affected a lot, is that diet change for native people, and so milk has never been really something that, and I can't speak for any other race of people, and I'm not speaking for all the tribes and throughout the world or anything, but I do know that it has really affected myself and a lot of other native people. And my wife, now she can't have any kind of dairy whatsoever, and she's Polish. She's totally allergic to dairy, and so is my little girl, Crystal Rain. So we don't use any dairy. And even Crystal Rain will tell you, at 2.5, I don't eat dairy.
but she got along okay with mother's milk.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So yeah, totally. Goat's milk's like mother's milk. It's just different. But you know, what if people? You know, number one, you get good goat's milk, you're going to pay $5-6 a gallon.
Right.
You know, but nobody knows about it. Right. Nobody knows about it.
Well, I know that a lot of times when there were people couldn't breastfeed their children, instead of giving them like cow's milk, and that they would try to find goat's milk to be able to give. Goat's milk actually tastes really sweet.
I was always under the impression that it tasted icky, and you know, I got here and I tasted some for the first time, and I tell you, it was sweeter and better than any milk I'd ever had, and I was told that if you're very careful when you're milking the goat, not to get any hair,
right.
Because if you get any hair in the milk, then you get that goaty taste,
right.
And but it's sweeter, smoother. Than any milk you've ever had, and I know my friends here in Kabul have a small goat dairy, and they were actually offered a blank check from a Japanese business interest for the entire herd.
Huh.
And you're only talking 10-15 goats.
Right.
But this guy, he's going to be our guest in a few weeks. His name is Dick Greenstone.
Uh-huh.
And years ago, he's a Christian man, and he prayed to his Heavenly Father, and he said, you know, what can I do to help, you know, bring about your kingdom here on earth, and, you know, the time of peace. And he heard a voice that said, get a goat. And he said, okay, he said, is there anything else that I could do besides, he says, I don't like goats.
Right.
Is there anything else I could do? And he waited for a response and kind of got quiet and a little bit sleepy, and the voice woke him up and said, get a goat. And he said, oh, well, he said, if that's what you want me to do, he says, I promise that if you'll bless my herd, he says, I'll have the finest herd in 5 years. And, you know, in four years later, he had the finest buck, a goat in the country, and he had his he had more milk production. He developed a proprietary feeding formula, and had more milk production than any other goats in the entire United States. They're Nubian goats, which means they come from Africa, and other the cutest things you ever saw, except for the males, you know, but. But and they don't graze, they forage.
Uh-huh.
They're the they're the finest survival animal. You know, you can use their they'll clothe you. You goat meat actually it takes more calories to burn it than it does than it has. So it's called it's a hot food. It's like basmati rice. It takes a little bit more energy to digest it than it has in calories. The meat's wonderful for you, and then you can use the hide. And the hide's been used for thousands of years, you know, for skins and clothing. And they don't need grass. You just need to take them for a walk in the woods once a day, and they'll forage. And they're just great animals. They're just kind of funky.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of wisefoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from wisefoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed, and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year's supply from wisefoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
But anyway, but yeah, this genetic engineering has kind of got people worried.
What is happening now is that the crops that they're growing from this genetic engineered foods is pollinating now with a lot of the organic.
Oh, that's bad.
And it's so sad because, you know, the same bees that are going to pollinate with the with those plants are going to fly to the next field and to the next field. And so they're, if this continues on a regular span basis like this for a long period of time, then pretty soon all the crops that would be affected. And in my dream, one of the things that was really implemented in my mind, my heart, was that we had to save the original seeds because it was going to be the only thing that would grow. And I didn't know at the time that that's what it meant. But when they started to do this genetic engineered seeds, and they were spreading throughout the country, and it spoke to the soy, to the corn, to the you name it, and then crossing potatoes with animals and totally unreal stuff that has been going on in these experiments, and people are just unaware of it. They don't really care. I'm not sure, but I know that this is not the way to feed the world if we're going to destroy ourselves in the process. And then, along with all the other things that we're doing throughout the world, we're allowing ourselves to become so depressed about what's happening in our lives, whether that we just see one more act of violence, and we're all so immune to it that we just sit back and go, "I knew that was going to happen," and it's like we've become so numbed out in our feelings and our emotions that we just don't really care anymore. And so I think that this is one of the things that we need to do, is we need to get back that understanding that we all are here to experience this life, but yet we're all here to also take care of this altar of Creator. And so, because there's so many more generations to come after us, in the month of June, Venus is going to be coming across the sun. There's going to be an eclipse there. June, I think 6th or 8th, that this is going to be happening, and it's going to be like a 7-hour eclipse. And because Venus has always been a part of the planet of love and a wide variety of speaking about the different planets, this is supposed to open up a doorway that will last from 2004 to 2008 in the time of the Mayan prophecy calendar, and that this doorway would be open, and it would come to help to change and to bring about the consciousness of man. Now, throughout the world, there are people knowing and understanding that this event is going to be taking place in June, and that they're asking for, throughout the world, all the faiths and religion just to take the time to turn your heart and mind and spirit, because this doorway is going to be open, and that means that we are going to be in a time of change. Now, from 2005, and me and Brother Mankin was talking about this when the Hellbot comet came through, and everybody was so excited about Hellbot, and we were telling them it's what's coming after Hellbot, the planet that would be seen. And I said, it will take you time to be able to understand its meaning, but soon it would make its appearance. And now they call it the planet X, you know, and it came into that visible state now. So there's a lot of transformation in the skies, and one of the things that we need to do is not to be in the fear of things, but to open the consciousness of mankind. And you know, it would only take 1% of the world to fall upon their knees all at one time to pray and to change all the consciousness of the world. We can dream. You know, a native people, when they dream something, it becomes theirs to work with. And this is one of the things that I do, is when I have a dream, then this is something that I personally will start to work with. It was like 2 years after Brother Mackie passed away, was whenever I had the dream that I would work with the crystals. And it was only because Brother Mackie came in my dream and he told me, and he started laughing. He said, "Oh, so good to see you, Brother, like we had laughed so many times before." And then he told me the whole story about the crystals.
Well, you're in a good place for it because North Georgia's got a lot of crystal. You know, Cherokees work
right.
very, very closely with crystals. Most other Indian tribes are scared of them, but we work very closely with them.
Well, when we, like I said, when we dream state, that's what becomes our medicines, you know. But one of the dreams that I have to remember is that I'm always dreaming about talking to Creator. And this one time, good while back, 6 years ago, or whenever, when was they talking about the stem cell research, Brother?
Oh, just a couple of years ago.
Okay. Well, I had this dream about 6 months before they came out with that. And in the dream, I dreamed that I was sitting in front of Creator, and I was sitting there talking with him, but I was laughing so hard because I couldn't believe I was sitting in front of Creator. And I can tell you what he looked like to me in that dream. He was just a little old guy, you know what I mean? But there was just so much kind of love and good energy that was coming off of him, and I just laughed, and it didn't seem to bother him. He just looked at me and smiled, and he told me, he says, I have a, he looked at a t-shirt that I was wearing, and he says, everybody reads those messages. He says, but nobody's getting mine. He says, it doesn't matter what I do, nobody is receiving my message. And so, then he looked at me, and he raised his left hand, and he goes, I have a message for you. And he goes, the first message, and he raises up one finger, and he says, write this message. And he says, a message from Creator. And then he goes, underneath, he says, write, show me your miracles. You're standing on mine. Brother, I have never heard this statement anywhere. It came directly out of this dream. And then
have you made the t-shirt yet?
I did. I'll tell you about that. But anyway, then there was this, he goes up, and then he looks at me and smiles, and he says, second message. He says, I'm on a roll. And so I go, I'm still laughing, you know, but I'm hearing like every word that he's saying. And so then all of a sudden he goes, he raises his left hand again, and he says, second message. He says, message from Creator. He says, write this. And he says, and it says, have faith in Creator. Science is still learning. And then, honest to goodness, I woke up out of this dream. I was still laughing. I wake up my wife. I says, honey. I says, you won't believe who I was speaking to. And she says, who to this time? And I says, I think I went all the way to the top. And I says, I got a message. And so she quickly grabs a pen and she writes the messages down for me. Now, I went out and do talks and things, and so I would share this dream that I had with people. And I says, you know, I would love to be able to make these t-shirts. I don't have enough money to make them. And I told probably 100 people. And then finally this one guy came up and he says, and everybody else is going, when you get them made, grandfather, I want to get one. And so then this one person came up and he says, grandfather, he says, I'll help the t-shirts print it up for you. It took 100 people, but one of them came up and he had those t-shirts. Now, I have those t-shirts on the website, but 6 months after is whenever the, and in the dream, Piano was very specific. He says, these dreams will have a great meaning real soon. 6 months later is when they started to talk about the stem cell research. Have faith in Creator, science is still learning.
Uh-huh.
The message really took hold to me, and so I was really touched by that message, and I understood exactly what know that we have to be able to actually receive a miracle, we have to have the faith to believe that it's going to happen. One of the things that I think that we need to really experience in our lives is to get back that faith and that belief in who Creator is, because we're always thinking that God has forgotten us down here. But I don't think it's that God has forgotten us. I think that we've forgotten how to who God is, you know. And so, but those people that are really listening, Creator never stops speaking to you. And so, one of the things that we have to learn how to do is when we go and pray, is that when we make a prayer, we're speaking to God. When we meditate, we're listening to God.
That's right.
We need to learn how to meditate and to listen as well as speaking. And every morning, and my wife can tell you this, I get up every day long before the sun comes up, and I go out and I pray and I sit and I listen. On my website, I have what's called a weekly message and a message of peace. And when I go out and I pray and I'm just listening, that's where each one of these messages came from. And before I used to call up my web provider and try to remember the message and give it to him. Finally, I started to write them down, but you have to understand that I didn't learn to read and write until I was 42 years old. And so writing hasn't been really one of my greatest skills. So when my wife looks at what I've written down, she has to really use some imagination.
That's amazing.
But she's learned to cipher a lot of the things that I've written. But I was speaking up in Canada one time whenever this grandmother came up and asked me if she could write my stories. And I told her, I said, Grandma, I said, you can write them, but I could never read them. And she goes, you don't know how to read. And I said, no, I never could catch on to that. I said, I was very dyslexic, and they just didn't have a name for that when I was growing up. So
they just called you dumb.
That was the one.
Yeah.
And so I went to 3-4 years of school, and that was it. And I don't think I could get past the third grade.
Well, thank heavens we've come in a little bit further and understand learning disabilities.
They have, in some regards.
I know my wife still has a lot of learning disabilities. She just, you know, she's an extremely intelligent person, a natural clan mother, and she's
right.
Been recognized as a clan mother, but she can't spell to save her life.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the things that I was doing was this grandmother, she convinced me to come, and because she was a literacy teacher. She was 89, but she was a literacy teacher for all her life, just about. And so I told her that I was just too dyslexic. I never could catch on to that. And so she says, let me try. So anyway, she, for the next year and a half, I would meet with her and I would tell her stories and she would record them. And then she would, next time I would see her, she would have them written down. And so she taught me how to read from my own stories.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. And because I could relate to the stories, she taught me how to relate to the words. And then eventually my wife along the way helped me until I could finally. But she also taught me about dyslexia and how that part of your brain kind of overlooks the way certain shapes and things are. And so she taught me how to look at them at a certain angle and then to bring them back into focus. And it actually started working. It took a lot of training for that to take place. But over the years now, now I read like very well. But you know, I've never been a person to go out and read a lot of books. But I've been a person that's going out and experienced life. And I think that that's been my greatest book, my greatest teaching, was to listen to others. And so it's certainly been a gift to me to be able to utilize that that gift of being able to listen and to not only hear what people are saying verbally, but what they're not seeing underneath their breath, you know. And so this is a way that I utilize that gift to be able to help a lot of people.
Well, we sure appreciate you being on the show. We've gone over just about 2 hours now, and actually running out of space on my hard drive, so we can't talk much longer. But I sure want to thank you for being on the show, and any last advice for folks out there?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases.
I'm Austin Powers. I like Gas Mojo. They're very sexy and very switched on, yeah.
But you gotta have Gas Mojo, baby, yeah!
What a gas, baby, yeah!
I'm going to go back to the 60s and steal Austin Powers' Gas Mojo.
Hi, folks. This is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of GasMojo.net Engine Booster. Immediate 25% fuel savings with GasMojo.net in just 5 minutes after installation. And your grandma can do it, so you just strap it on your fuel line, folks. Some customers report much greater savings. The GasMojo.net Engine Booster catalytically conditions any hydrocarbon fuel, be it gasoline, propane, diesel fuel. It's not a filter, it contains no metals, magnets, or toxic substances, and uses no electricity. The GasMojo.net engine booster unit is a specially designed tube containing a completely safe proprietary media. It's a passive fuel treatment process designed to disperse hydrocarbons for better performance and mileage, and also to break down carbon and other contaminants. Unlock your fuel's hidden energy potential now with GasMojo.net. And folks, you get a 100% money-back guarantee on this. I've got one on my car. It was developed by an old friend of mine, and he's an honorable person. You got to try it, folks, and go open a bank account now for all the money you're going to save. GasMojo.net, GasMojo.net. Just do it.
Prophecy keeper, oh. like a lover's hand upon the heart, the very breath you gave me grows intently through the years.
It becomes dreams.
So let the wind blow.
Kind of day.